Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Nobody gets on the radio but through Mr. Rob Center, a fabulous producer. He's put in a great week. He's still going to do On the Mark as well. So we always appreciate his help and hard work and his maintenance of the WKOK podcast page. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, women in cinema advocate, and an author and prolific tweeter. His review of Halloween Kills starts right now.
Halloween Kills is the sequel to the 2018 Halloween movie, which was itself a sequel to the original 1978 Halloween that ignored all the other Halloween sequels that came in between them. Man, movies are getting complicated these days. Masked psycho Michael Myers survives certain death and continues to wreak bloody havoc in the town of Haddonfield. Jamie Lee Curtis is back too, but in an incredibly bad decision, her character is sidelined for almost a full hour, and even when she does finally become a prominent figure in the story, she isn't given anything to do. There are exactly zero scenes between her and Michael Myers. Instead, we follow Anthony Michael Hall, who plays Tommy Doyle, the now-grown kid Curtis's character babysat in the 78 version. He whips the town's citizens into a lynch mob to go after Michael. Halloween Kills is full of flashback scenes, Easter eggs, and boring pieces of exposition as it constantly tries to tie itself into the original. That becomes annoying quickly because it completely halts any momentum the story is trying to build. Also, too much time is spent on dull new characters, when what we really want is more Jamie Lee Curtis. Add to that an excess of mean-spirited blood and gore, and Halloween Kills easily establishes itself as one of the worst entries in this long-running franchise. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5 Dr. Loomis's.
Oh my gosh, 1.5.
And I'm a big fan of this franchise, but this movie is awful.
So this is one of the dead ones, eh? And Jamie Lee Curtis, of course, being sidelined through most of this is really one of the big issues.
Yeah, at the beginning of the movie, she's injured, and then she spends the entire movie in a hospital bed. And so she doesn't get anything to do. They're obviously, I mean, what they did was they said, we're going to make a trilogy of new Halloween movies. So the one in 2018 set everything up. The next one, which is called Halloween Ends, will have the big confrontation between her and Michael. And so that leaves this movie to just be filler. It's just biding time so that they can stretch this out into three movies.
All right, and it's got some jump scares and a lot of flashbacks and a lot of blood and gore and some stabbings and people who don't expect to get killed, et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, as a horror movie fan, I understand that violence is part and parcel of something like this, but the violence here is really mean-spirited, and I think that they linger on it too long to the point that it becomes kind of stomach-churning. There's a scene where Michael Myers takes a fluorescent light bulb, shatters it, and then stabs a woman through the neck with it. You know, it's just a little bit overboard, and the original Halloween wasn't like that. If you go back and watch the original Halloween, there was violence, but you really didn't see as much as you thought you saw. In this movie, they completely betray that idea. It's like, we're going to show you as much blood and gore as we can.
Are you looking forward to the finale, having seen such a milquetoast placeholder in the middle?
I'm still looking forward to it. I did like the previous one. I know that the next one is really going to bring Jamie Lee Curtis back and give us that confrontation between her character and Michael Myers that we really want. So I'm still looking forward to it, but there's no doubt that this movie is just a disappointment, and they probably would have been smarter to just make two films rather than trying to stretch it into three.
All right, so that is Halloween Kills. 1.5.
Dr. Loomis's, named after the great Donald Pleasance and the psychiatrist he played in the original. He was Michael's.
Does he make more appearances after the original, or is he killed way back when?
He was also in Halloween 2. Okay. He pops up in this one, although apparently it was not CGI. Everybody thought that they brought him back via CGI, but apparently they used makeup to create his face and put on another actor.
It
looks like him. I mean, I thought it was CGI until I read the actual way they accomplished it.
Okay. All right. So Dr. Loomis didn't make an appearance in this film, but maybe he'll be back in the finale. You just never know. Okay. So 1.5 there on Halloween Kills, which is in theaters?
In theaters and streaming on the Peacock service.
The Peacock. Boy, we keep hearing about them. They're trying to make some headlines here. All right. The Last Duel is out. Mm-hmm. This looked like an interesting trailer.
Yeah. This is a perfect example of the kind of mature intelligent, adult-driven entertainment that we don't get much of anymore. And part of the reason we don't get much of it is because this movie absolutely tanked in its opening weekend. It made under $5 million, despite an A-list cast. So it's kind of a shame that people aren't patronizing this sort of film anymore. But it's based on a true story that takes place in France in the 1300s, and there's this rivalry between Matt Damon's character and Adam Driver's character. And then Matt Damon's wife accuses Adam Driver's character of raping her, and so the two men have a climactic duel together. But it's just a really interesting, intelligent look at not only the rivalry between these two characters, but how rape culture works. You know, this woman is violated, but the men want to make it about them. They've got their own versions. They've got their own ideas and narratives that they want to protect. And then her truth is in the middle. So this is a really thought-provoking film, and I wish more adults would take a chance on it. I know when you have James Bond out there in a Marvel movie and a Halloween movie, it's easy to get distracted by those familiar titles. But to go and see something that's this well done and different, that's something I wish more people would do.
Okay, so this is The Last Duel, mm-hmm. and it's set, you know, back in Renaissance time, something along that line, we'll say. And I thought it was interesting in that you could also feel the impact of what the crowd was interested in doing, or what most people wanted, or what the, you know, sort of that crowd speak thing, or, you know, what the mob wants, the mob gets.
Right, and that's definitely a part of it, too, because everybody has their opinion as to what happened in this situation and what they think should be the result of that. But really the best performance, despite having Matt Damon, Adam Driver, and Ben Affleck in a supporting role, the movie belongs to Jodie Comer, who's very hot right now coming off of Free Guy, and she gives a phenomenal performance in this that is Oscar-worthy. So there's really a lot to the film. I know you say, well, it's kind of a movie about rape culture, and people roll their eyes and think, oh, do I want to go see that? But it's an entertaining drama. It's the kind of thing that really sucks you up.
Well, and if there's any truth to the story, then we're going to might help answer the question, how did we ever end up with white damsel in distress syndrome that we enjoy today?
Exactly.
In our society. Maybe this is one of the first appearances of that. Did you give it X number out of 4?
Gave it 3 stars. It's a little on the long side, and Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, although they're good in the movie, they seem way too modern. You know, Ben Affleck is just so quintessentially Boston that putting him in 1300s France is a little bit distracting. So there were a couple minor things like that, but 3 stars for The Last Duel, because I do think it is a very good film.
Well, I watched the trailer with my wife, and she says, well, that's just Matt Damon with a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
You know, so it's sort of his same character. Okay, so that's The Last Duel. And, okay, so that's just in theaters?
Correct? In theaters only.
Okay, so you have to go to the movies to go see that. Box office numbers still trickling upward?
Yeah, I mean, we're on a roll right now. The Bond movie did really well. Halloween Kills did more than $50 million in its opening weekend, despite being streaming at the same time. We have Dune opening today. That's expected to do really well. So, yeah, we're seeing an upswing. But again, it's for these big tentpole movies. The smaller movies are the movies based on something or that are not based on something. Movies that are original, like The Last Duel, are flopping pretty hard. So people are willing to go back to the theaters, but only for something that they're familiar with and want to see more of.
All right. So what we've done is, at the box office, we kind of eliminated the lower tier movies. What did you call them? The films that...
Original films that are not tentpole movies.
Yeah, tentpole. There you go. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah, the ones that there's no parties before the film showing and
right.
Probably not as much conversation about them. AMC, I'm actually glad to see this. I do this tons of times at home, is put the captions on. Mm-hmm. They're going to do that in the theater more?
Yes, AMC, they've already started doing it, but they're announced that in hundreds of their theaters, they're going to offer open caption screenings, meaning when you go, there will be subtitles on the screen for the hard of hearing. I actually saw The Last Duel at one of those screenings, and I actually found it kind of helpful. You know, some of these movies, the action scenes, the sound effects are mixed so loudly that you can't understand the dialogue, and this really helps with that. But if you're one of those people where that kind of bothers you, you might want to double check the show times and make sure you're not getting one of those screenings. But But if you're like me and you occasionally want to catch all the dialogue, or if you are hard of hearing or something like that, now you can go to the movies at AMC and the subtitles will be right there on the screen for you.
Yeah, I use the captions all the time. You catch two things, one of which sometimes I think that when they redub the sound, it's mumbled or you could never pick out what the people said if you didn't have the caption. But the second thing is sometimes the actors ad-lib what they're saying and change the dialogue or don't say a sentence that's in the script, but that sentence pops up on the captions because that's based on the script. And so you see, you know, there's a slight difference there. Indiana Jones, please tell me that update's coming out at some point.
Yeah, Disney announced that they're bumping back a whole bunch of their movies. All of the Marvel movies are bumping back one cycle. And Indiana Jones 5 has been bumped from next summer to June 30th, 2023. So we're going to have to wait about another year and a half to get a new look at Indy.
Oh, we're going to be grandparents by the time this comes out. All right, Critics' Choice Documentary Awards. Now, I saved the last 2 minutes for you to talk about this. This is a big deal.
Yeah, Critics' Choice Documentary Awards, the nominees were announced this week. I'm a part of that organization, so I helped to choose these. And the big winners were Ascension and Summer of Soul, both of which received 6 nominations. They were followed by Becoming Cousteau and The Rescue, which is my personal pick for the best documentary of the year, and those got 5 nominations each.
The Rescue?
The Rescue, yeah. True story about how in Thailand, divers went in to try to rescue 12 or 13 young boys who were trapped in a flooded cave.
Well, we remember as it was unfolding in this miraculous rescue, and I read a little bit about this, and maybe from one of your tweets. I think you tweeted something about this lately. When you read into it, you find out just how really ridiculously perilous this was and how close this was to an all-out tragedy just across the board.
Absolutely. It was a Hail Mary pass.
All right. Critics' Choice Documentary Awards. I can read lots more about that where?
You can go to CriticsChoice.com and see the list of all our nominees.
All right. And you can do it. Does it list all of the things and how you voted for them?
My personal votes are not in there, no.
Okay.
But you'll see how the nominating body voted.
All right. Bonafide, nationally known critic right in our studio, Movie Mike McGranahan. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, women in cinema advocate, author, and prolific tweeter with his appearance here, always sponsored by Campus Theater, Lewisburg.